Blog Talk Radio.
This is Great Inferno. Welcome to my show. Wednesday. I almost forgot. How could I? Today's segment, we're going to be talking to an artist who does all that artistic thing that he does. Anyway, let's cover the news real quick. And this is something that that I do, every show, and I like to keep you guys up with the current events and what's going on in our great world. Today's segment, labeled it or titled it "Life is an Art," because it does. It does. Function just like you're creating an art, because whether be you're creating something like your goal, or you're pertaining to your family, or careers and whatnot, it's just like an art. Great quotes like Leonardo da Vinci quoted and says, "Art is never finished, only abandoned." So art has something to do with your life, being who you are and what you do, with your loved ones, what you believe, and everything that goes along with it. Yep, my co-host is my son. Actually, I'm here with him. The rest of the family, the whole 20 of them, is outside. Not outside, but out somewhere. I think they're going to Taco Bell, but let's go into news now. What's in the news today? While we wait for that person to call my guest, hold on a second here, and we are going to be talking about the news. Actually, running an article about the death map that shows where America's most likely to die. That's right. A new map plotting deaths resulting from forces of nature reveals where Mother Nature is most likely to kill you. Yeah, that's right. Actually, it says people living in the south along the Atlantic and Gulf Coast have a higher likelihood of dying from a natural hazard compared to residents in the Great Lakes area, like where I'm at right now. Great Lakes, Wisconsin, Illinois, and all that. My answer to that says no. Yeah, right. Of course. I mean, why would you want to live in Alligator Alley? I mean, a Tornado Alley, Tornado Alley. Why would you want to build the double wide right in a Tornado Alley in there? Of course, man. This whatever survey or test that they did is just nonsense. I mean, of course, it's like they show you a map of. Like, where you most likely to die, like the reds, in Arizona, and there's, like, red zone in there, blue zone, and all over the nations. And it's saying, while intense hurricanes and tornadoes pretty much runs in that, the Mississippi and all that tornado alleys that they're talking about. So you can actually, but the purpose of this is like looking at where you're most likely to die. I mean, that's the news that I was reading in that, and it's just kind of I don't know. Would that scare me? No, that doesn't scare me. Would that, will make me move out of the, you know, hypothetically, I say I live in the East Coast, would that more like me to for me to move out of the East Coast, make because of this, will this turn me off or somewhat? I would say no. Okay, that's as long as you protect yourself, you know, pray to God and know that the God will protect you, and you know, do common sense things, stuff like, you know, don't go rollerblading in the middle of the freeway. That's right. That's right. You know, stuff like building houses in the middle of Tornado Alley, you know, or like just building houses in the most hazardous place. I don't know, it's just common sense. This is, folks, it's just common sense. So they just, you know, God gave us brain to think and what's good for us and what's bad for us. So that's what you guys, you know, that's what you got to do, man. It's just life is an art, you know. Life's an art. So, yeah, go back to the life's an art thing. It's, that's because of, you know, like myself, your host here, you know, I do have long-term. And also, we all have the short-term goals. And, you know, as implying it to a piece of art is just starting from the beginning and finishing, you know, then just finishing. So whether you, like, you're drawing, you're making, you know, arts and crafts, and whether it be, I don't know, it could be like piece of sculpture, you know, whether it be acting or dancing, writing, filmmaking, photography, music even, those are, you know, the artists. I mean, that's why they're called artists, because they are, you know, producing art. But enough about that. But majority of that is people who use imagination, talent, skills, great works that may be judged to have an aesthetic value of it. You know, people like that, historians and critics and all that, they would call that, you know, I said, as an artist. Those who produce art within the recognizable discipline. Again, life's an art. You know, if you're trying to get a job, build your career, you start from the start, and you build your career. You know, build yourself up. hold on a second here. Okay. Now, just like, talking about life as an art, and that's what we are going to be talking about. I'm going round in circles here because I don't have any notes. the public Picasso quoted, you know, one of his famous quotes is when I paint, I feel that all the artists of the past are behind me. Oh, that's nice. And you know, famous quotes from the artist himself. You know, the prince, whatever. He said that makes him feel good. So, really, that's really. Let's look at the news today. Actually, you heard about the shoe throwing journalist that threw that shoes, to President Bush. Actually, the Iraqi Parliament is actually, you know, debating on what to do with this guy. They had a session of at a talk, and said, actually, you know, that's how they do it over. They talk and then they shout at each other. And the lawmakers actually, you know, argue that they just don't know what to do with the guy. You know, they don't know how to punish him. I would say throw him in jail. You know, I mean, so he learns. I know a lot of people in the, you know, people in the left, like, especially Bush haters and all that. Oh, you know, he deserves that. Shoes be thrown at him. And, oh, my goodness, excuse me. Shoe, and, you know, they would, like, sympathize him. You know, this guy. Yeah. I mean, he was actually treated, or, you know, he was treated as a local hero. In Baghdad, you know, people went outside and holding shoes, get out of America, you know, yada, 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 we don't need you here, you know, after all the things that we've done for them. We're still the bad guys, of course. And you know, the Iraqi parliament began to discuss the legislation of their withdrawal from Iraq, and you know they're saying that what are we going to do with this guy? His name is Al-Zaidi. I mean, my question is, how did he get in there? I mean, is that something that well, of course, I know how he got in. He's a journalist guy. The question is, I mean, is that all Iraqis actually feel that way? I mean, do they, like, don't really have this sense of understanding how what would happen if this guy would have, you know, thrown his shoes at Saddam Hussein? I mean, I was watching that video of it, and I think the New York Times did the interview on a couple of people that, you know, what would they think, or what would their comments on hypothetically, you know, he would have thrown that shoes at, what's his name, Saddam Hussein. I mean, there are a lot of people say, oh, he would be executed, he would no longer be, you know, here. Well, I mean, he's saying that he'd be dead, that Saddam Hussein would have killed him. Of course, that's what Saddam did back in the day. And it's not just that. And it's all his, you know, his family. This one guy's recording says, man, Saddam Hussein would have started from the little ones or the youngest one in his family all the way up to his, you know, to his grandparents. Because that's what Saddam Hussein was when he was in power. But he doesn't really take anything from anybody. The thing is, it's as far as like George Bush and all that. You know, he was making fun of it and making comedy out of this. And a lot of people in the most of Iraqis are, you know, they're not. Yeah, I agree with you. And they take this very seriously. You know, throwing shoes at people in Iraq is very serious. And I know that maybe Saturday Night Live and all that's going to be taking this. We're going to be making fun of this, and I can guarantee you that. Again, you know, funny in this sense. This guy did his thing. He said he showed his feeling. He showed what he truly believes. And white America and Americans in Iraq. It's, you know, again, life is an art, and that's what I take at this. I mean, I'm not saying that that guy should be executed. I mean, I've heard this right wing people, or journalists out there, or syndicate columnists and all that. He should be, you know, this and that. I'm like, no. The guy was beaten, and then the guy, you know, he deserved to get punished in a way, you know, we should let the Iraqi government then deal with that, and we should move on. You know, people tend to get stuck on what they call getting stuck in a dot. That's not the main problem, you know. There's a bigger fish to fish out there to get out there. So it's just, let's just move on that, and again, life is an art, and you know, that's whatever you make of it. It's an art that you, it's like you're getting those things done. Like it's not unfinished business, but it's With that guy, and what happening to that guy, you know, he's going to be, I believe he's going to be in jail, and hopefully that, you know, people will forgive him for what he have done. All right, enough about that guy, and we were going to switch topic here. I don't want to bore you or anything like that, but I want to get those out of my chest, you know what I mean? So, I want to talk about the art that what's in your mind, you know, like your goals, your dreams, you know, what do you want to do? You know, what do you have for your little ones like I have here? What do you have for your future? You know, if you want to call in, you're more than welcome to. We are live, and you can call in to 347-884-8125. Again, that's this is Great Inferno, and we are going to move on to whatever we want to do, because this is what we do. Isn't that right? All right, and no, I'm not gonna bore you with that. With that violin. Oh man, that elevator music in there. Oh no, where that came from? I don't know. It's just hilarious. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the Fox News and then the news I'm reading here. Now, global warming. Let's talk about global warming touch up on that a little bit. As an actual scientist, skeptical, you know. I know that scientists, there's always this two sides of the stories when it comes to, like, global warming, you know, whoa, what did you do there? Evolutions and everything. Just always two sides of the stories, whether it's a scientist, you know, columnist, guessist, whatever you want to call that. But anyway, some scientists are skeptical of assertion that climate change is a result of man's activities, are criticizing recent Associated Press wrote in global warming, calling it the irrational hysteria. I thought it was irritation hysteria. And horrific, bad, incredibly biased. Well, guess what? I strongly believe that it is, because Al Gore don't know what he's talking about. Okay? If you want to know about global warming and what the Bible has to say about the global warming, turn into the Bible. That's what everything is in there, buddy. Everything's in there, okay? Excuse me. They said a report was published on Monday contains sweeping scientific errors. That's what I'm talking about. Everything is in the air in there. Now, the funny thing is, they'll probably just ignore this report, you know, the errors and all that, because they are blindly, they're blind, but they're stupidity. That's what it is. You know, I'm no scientist. I know. I was like, great, friend, you're not a scientist. Why would you want to talk about the stuff like that? Yeah, but it's, again, God gave me a common sense, and God gave me a brain to know what's good and what's bad for myself. And most of it is a global warming. If you look at the reports, it was actually quite disturbing, and it's not what it is. Yeah, I have my son with me, so he's now in the article Obama left with a little time to curb global warming. Science writer Seth Bornstein wrote the global warming is taking a ticking time bomb the president like Obama cannot avoid, and that global warming is accelerating. Oh yeah. Deming is an interview took issue with Bornstein's characterization of a problem. He says, it doesn't exist. Huh. That is just plainly wrong, because it does not. I'm not going to go into details on that. I don't know what you think about it. It's a boring segment. It's a boring, you know, discussion to have, like, global warming. You know, especially if you're not a scientist or haven't done a little research in global warming or anything like that, and you would, you know, sometimes I will talk to people, and I will talk to people about global warming, and they'll tell me all kinds of stuff, and I'm like, dude, I mean, are you a scientist? So, drop it, you know. Your opinion, you're entitled to your opinion, I'm entitled to mine, so you are not going to be happy. I punch you right in the face. No, I didn't say that. But, again, you know, life is an art. lives and art, and then people is creating this report. It's just like creating their own art. They're creating their masterpiece. You know, like Al Gore did with the movie and all, when he produced that the Unconventional Truth or whatnot. You know, he created his masterpiece. That's him, man. That's an art for him. And a lot of people, sadly enough, there's a lot of people that follow that and or still following that. And I don't strongly believe that. I always want to go back to, you know, what the Bible has to say. How is this global warming? How the Bible explains and what. What is the outcome of it? I mean, is it really global warming? Is this all really like, you know, melting the ice cap, the North Pole and everything like that? Is it really? There's got to be bigger things behind that, you know. All right, now, let's go move on. We'll move on to what do you call that? Yeah, the global warming to the global terror. All right. You know that guy, the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed? You know, that you know, it's one of the guys that part of the master plan of 9/11. You know, all the reporting report, the soldiers who guards Khalid Sheikh Mohammed says he's a calculating man. A monster in a monk's habit and leader of prisoners locked away in Guantanamo Bay where his own trial for the murder of thousands. With rare access and interviews, I'm reading this Fox News. So Fox News has learned new and sobering details about the Sheikh, the man who known simply as KSM. So I'm not getting this. So the guy, the soldier, is actually the guard, Sheikh Mohammed, is telling all this story to Fox News and how he's like, you know, he's an calculating man. You know, I mean, aren't we like all, you know, I mean, I can calculate. All right, that's a joke. He said I was there when they read him his charges, and you know, a pretty sobering moment, charging him with murder, terrorism, conspiracy. And as he looked at the sheet and said, "I did this. I did this. I did this. I did more than this. I'm guilty. I feel sorry for my defense attorney." So he said he's guilty. So, yeah, let's lock him up. Now, I like it. You know, there's some people in here, that people here that, you know, again, that, you know, sympathizes him, especially when I was watching The View that one pathetic morning when Rosie O'Donnell was saying, "Look at me, look at this guy, you know, does he look like scary to you? Does he look like, you know, he's about to kill you? But he looks like he hasn't gotten to sleep." Oh yeah, Rosie, that's funny. Yeah, he looks like he just killed a thousand people. That's what he looks like. Yeah, I doubt it. I'm going to take a break in a little bit here, so I want you to just maybe hang tight or, you know, fast forward it. And hold in just a second. And Great Inferno Show, welcome to my show here. I'll be right back.
As I went, down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on. as I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way. And who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Good Lord, show me the way.
Alright, here's me again. Welcome back to my show. Sorry I bored you with that song. That's all the song I have on file. Pretty soon I'm going to be uploading more, so, but it was good though, wasn't it? Yeah, I like that. I've got that from the soundtrack of Oh Brother, Where Out Thou. Back in the segment here, we are going to be talking about the, just about life in general. That's why I named this or titled this, show Life is an Art. And as we go along, we're going to go read news, and we are going to comment on them and what's going on and what's buzzing on the around town, shall we? Huh? Yeah, let's go start that real quick, eh? I agree with you guys. Not. No. Of course not. This one is pertaining to the Blagojevich Stiles Gingerism on the Chicago or Illinois, I don't want to say Illinois, but yeah, Chicago politics. So Trump and Corson lead to mine after seeing this headline Monday on Monday, Chicago Sometimes. It says black leaders see Senate seat being hijacked. Is it really? Yeah. Well, if you can afford the $1 million, if you have money to purchase that or to get your seats on the White House or not. yeah, there you go. On the White House, that's what I'm trying to say. But actually, that's what, you can really see it's how and why, and how they function over there in the Chicago political system. Yeah. Because, it's being exposed right now. I mean, it's the scandals, with this recent scandal of Governor Rod Blagojevich. That's what I said, it's a 21st century version of Al Capone. And this must not, under any circumstances, be allowed to pick a next unit senator to replace Barack Obama. They should not. They should allow people to vote. You should allow people to vote. Okay? Do not buy into this thing, media and all that, hypocrisy and all kind of stuff. So here's the first three graphs of Chicago Sun-Times story that got me, the writer of this guy. James Pinkerton. He's saying this is bye-bye black Senate seat. The political black voice is singing a swan song for the hopes of keeping a U.S. seat, a Senate seat in African-American hands. The Rod Blagojevich implosion may have dealt the cause a fatal blow. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. Here's what they need to do. Okay? Whoever's overlooking the governor and whoever busted him should not turn their eyes away from Chicago politicians or from the Chicago politics system that they do down there. They should not, because. I'm not saying every Chicago politicians are corrupt, but I strongly believe that most are. Okay, not just Chicago politician, and whoever may be linked to those who got them that position, whether it be the governor, senator, or whatnot. I mean, this is kind of a raise of questions and how President-elect got elected, and how President-elect is, claiming that he has, no understanding or, no association with this recent chaos that is going on over at the Chicago politicians. And the thing is, this is what I'm trying to say. They need to keep an eye on them. Keep an eye on those people. Again, life is an art. So whatever he did, he didn't do pretty good at it. So eventually caught up with them, and now he's in big trouble. Now, President-elect Obama, on the other hand, he did his thing. He did, again, life is an art. He wanted to become a president, and he did pretty good at it. With that being said, I want to go to my special guest. I have the artist over here. We're gonna talk about some of the life and art, and we'll touch up on what he does, and then we'll go from there, shall we? All right, hold on just a second here. The artist, you are live. How can I help you?
Yes, I've been calling a few times, but here's the thing. I dialed a 1 before the number, so for future callers, do not do that. It will not work.
Oh, do not dial 1 and then the area code?
Right. I've done it like 5 times because I thought maybe I misheard you when you gave me the number, but it doesn't matter. I'm here now.
Yeah.
You live and learn.
I did not know that because I used a cell phone. Yeah. All right. But anyway, yeah, we've been talking. What was I talking about? Where was I? Okay. Yeah. That's okay. I'm done with that. The Chicago politics and all that. But you're here now, the artist. So what? Can you tell me a little bit of what you do? And do you have a website that listener can go to?
Yes. It is biddleart.com. I see you have that posted. B as in boy, IDDLEART.com.
All right.
And what do I do? I'm a freelance artist in Wisconsin, USA, Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Do all kinds of drawings, illustrations, paintings, murals. I do a little bit of photography.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That is just... That's fine and dandy. No, I know that you do. I went to your site, and you do all kinds of things like as far as like drawings, and you do caricatures and charcoals and all that. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. You are right.
Yeah. Okay. I know that we've talked about in the past that you're going to be you would like to draw my family and.
Yes, and I have yet to do that.
Yeah, when are we going to do that?
I would like to draw them from person.
Yeah.
I do a lot of gift drawings. People will send me pictures to draw of their family. But I've met your family before. They're very fun.
Yeah.
So I think I want to draw them in person.
And also, I was like, I think I talked to you when I used to have like 3 kids.
Really? And now you almost doubled it. When are you going to double the 3?
I have 5 now, so it's going to get bigger. So let's get this thing done, before
it is going to get bigger? The number of kids?
We're done. No, I'm just saying
I mean,
that.
10's a good number.
Yeah. Yeah, the even number. 10.
Yes.
10 is a good number. Now, the I as you can see that on the title, that it said Life's an Art, because that's what I, that's my opinion. In my opinion, is life's not. Whether you like I said earlier, that whether you are seeking to build your career, whether it be for religious belief or political beliefs or anything like that, things that you want to accomplish in life, short term or long term goal, it's an art, isn't it? Would you agree?
Life or my art career? You're referring to life right now?
No, in life in general,
Well, I definitely like to further my art career. I feel that I've been given a gift, so I'd like to utilize it as much as possible, and I feel
okay.
I've been doing that. But I would like to branch off and do different things. I've been doing the caricatures for a while. I mean, I still enjoy it because it's great interacting with people, and you learn so much about families and different cultures. And it's a very fun job. I mean, it's a cushy job.
Yeah.
You're sitting down and you're drawing, so... It's almost like talking with people because I've drawn so many people so much over the years that it's like breathing for me. So it's almost like I'm just sitting down and interviewing people. So.
Yeah, and I've seen your work, and if you go to biddleart.com, then you should be able to see it all that this artist did. I liked it, and it's it's kind of to others it's mesmerizing. What do you like the most? Is it meeting people or just drawing people itself? What do you like the most?
I like the whole thing about it, but I would say the people's reactions. I mean, I still amaze myself sometimes because I look back, because that's how I started. I used to go to the amusement parks where they did the caricatures, and I was just amazed that you could take a paper and a pencil and make it look like someone.
Right.
So, and I just love seeing people's reactions and their smiles and little kids. I mean, I mostly draw kids, and they just love it. And I usually get kids that sit there and watch me for a couple hours.
Oh, okay.
So, once in a while, I'll let them draw me. Go ahead.
and what age did you start, learning?
I think I was a fetus at the time when I knew... that art was my thing. Ever since I can remember, ever since I can remember, I've always been very resourceful when I was a little kid. Wasn't necessarily drawing. I was always into, like, building and just creating things. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad was a builder, and I would just take blocks of wood and build things. I made a miniature golf course in a yard with sand and just...
Right.
I've always been creative that way. Hmm. So, and eventually it led to drawing and all sorts
right.
of other things.
Right. Let's take a caller. Hold on just a second here. Good caller, you're live. Welcome to Great Inferno Show.
Hello.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, do you ever do like postcards with characters? Like if we wanted, yeah.
Yes, I do postcards, or a lot of people have been doing Christmas cards. It's that time of year, so I'll do the caricatures with, like, a Christmas theme if they want Santa or elves or just snowman or anything like that. So,
okay.
Yes, I do that.
Because we were thinking about getting some, I don't know if you've ever been to, like, photography studios or even Walmart where you have your picture on there and then you can write,
uh-huh.
like, Merry Christmas, or if you have a
right.
business, you know, you can write that. So... Can you draw our family? Can, like,
Absolutely.
Character, like, our family, make that
Absolutely.
Up for us?
Yeah, and a lot
yeah.
of people like it because it's different than, like, just the regular thing at Walmart or Walgreens where you just take your photo. This is just unique, and it kind of stands out of all the other Christmas cards or postcards.
And then how much would that cost? Do you have flat rate or not sure? Or?
Sometimes it depends on how busy I am. Usually I do it 30 for color and 20 for black and white, and that's per face. And then, like, if you have pets that you want included, that would include the face rate. So, but sometimes I'll give a deal and make it less if you have a big family or something like that.
Okay. All right. It's good to know. We'll be in contact with you because this coming year we're planning on doing that.
Okay,
right.
Great.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then, have a good night and a Merry Christmas.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. Bye.
All right. Do you hear that beeping noise?
Beeping noise? No. Why, am I the winner? Am I the 100th caller?
No, it looks like my thing is going dead here in a little bit. If it cuts off, then all you have to do is call back, okay?
I definitely will.
All right. Hold on just a second here.
All right. Did the dog chew it? Do something?
No.
I heard a dog barking.
Yeah, that's my dog. That's one of my dogs. All right. Well, I don't think it's going to die. Hopefully not. But anyway, now, I want to go on a touch up on the news real quick here. You know, because this is just bothering me ever since I, read today.
All right. Let it out.
Let it out. Okay, in Easton, Pennsylvania, a father of 3-year-old named Adolf Hitler Campbell. Okay? His name is Adolf Hitler Campbell. Well, apparently he's, like, denied a birthday cake with a child's full name on it by one, you know, from one of the New Jersey supermarket. And they're asking for a little tolerance. And Heath Campbell and the wife, Deborah, are upset not only with the decision made by the nearby supermarket, but also with an outpouring angry internet posting in response to a local newspaper article about the cake.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? What do you say about that? What's your take on that?
Let me get this clear. You were cutting out a little bit. A little kid with the name Hitler wanted it written on a cake, and the store refused.
The
Was
store
that it?
Refused. Yep. The store refused to put the whole name. I think what happened, yeah, they did. They ended up making a cake with his name. Happy birthday, Adolf Hitler Campbell. Not.
Mm-hmm.
But they, you know, the thing is, they're mad. They, you know, there's an outpouring of people emailing the local newspaper, you know, about the article. And you know, I mean, is this something that we should spend our energy on it? It's like this. I mean, apparently the parents didn't care enough, you know. I mean, what kind of parents would you name with your kid Adolf Hitler? You know what I mean?
I didn't hear about this story.
Yeah, that's the story today.
That's the story.
Yeah, what
Adolf
are you
Hitler.
Yeah.
So Hitler is the middle name?
Hitler's the middle name, yeah. But the last name is Campbell. But they want the you know, the whole name, you know, full name, Adolf, you know, happy birthday Adolf Hitler Campbell in it.
Adolf Hitler Campbell. Well, I'm wondering if it was just a prank or something. I mean, if they didn't believe them, they could show the birth certificate or ID or something, but yeah, I don't know.
Actually, yeah, they confirmed it.
Really?
Yeah, and parents are saying they need to accept the name, and it's just a name. The kid isn't going to grow up and do what Hitler did, he said. You know,
mm-hmm.
They said, come on, you can't compare this Hitler, you know, to... The thing is, what motivated him to name, his son Adolf Hitler?
I know, to take someone that's very well-known. I mean, there's no way that they could have not have heard of Hitler before, and to do the first and last name as the kid's name. I don't know. How old is the kid?
Three.
He has no idea.
Yeah, he has no idea what's going on. But like I said, the parents are, hold them responsible because of, that's them. They're entitled to do whatever they want. Entitled to do whatever, their own opinions when it comes to, the Holocaust and all that stuff. But the thing is, it's too late, in the sense of, they're getting this supposedly famed.
Mm-hmm.
They're becoming famous because of their, I would say stupidity, but, they are stupid.
Right. I guess it's more so the grocery store. I mean, if I ran the grocery store, I would have just done it and said, hey, here you go, leave or whatever.
Yeah.
Because I've gotten odd requests with artwork. Sometimes it's just too off the wall that I won't even do it. But if they're paying me and it's nothing that's going to be public or anything, like a birthday cake, I guess it doesn't matter, but...
Right. But, yeah, back to my question. Do you ever, get a, weird request as far as, dress me up like Adolf Hitler? I mean, would you do it?
I mean, I do the characters. If it's a private freelance job, I might do that,
mm-hmm.
something like that. I don't know. They might be doing it for political reasons or some kind of article or something, but I have gotten some pretty odd requests. Some Caucasian white man wanted me to make him look black. So I just gave him bigger lips, which is a pretty common thing, and then dreadlocks.
Right.
I don't know. I guess it's kind of a stereotype. Or cornrows, I think it was. But
right,
he loved it.
Yeah.
That was a pretty odd request, but...
Hmm. Wow, and they're trying to say, oh, that's me with a big lip.
Yeah, you like that.
Okay. That doesn't make sense to me. But then do you, what about things like provocative stuff? Like, I know that you work in the water park, but, do you ever, draw something like that and similar to, exposure?
Yeah, you said I work at a water park, and it's a family resort, so it's all about kids there, so I can't be doing nude portraits. That's kind of a joke, though. People will come up to me and say, do you do nude portraits, or will you draw me like they did in the Titanic? I get that a lot, so pretty funny.
Yeah, you
should. And then I tell them, after midnight. That's after midnight, when, of course,
oh,
I'm not there
okay.
that late, so they show up, and there's no artist at the popsicle stand.
Oh, I see that. Yeah, that's something. I mean, if what if, let's hypothetically, Kate Winslet come up to you and go, hey, would you draw me again?
If what? Say that again.
If hypothetically, say, Kate Winslet.
Kate
Winslet is, right? The chick in Titanic, yeah. She's kind of a little old now, but, let's say hypothetically she would come up there and, just contact you and say, hey, this is Kate Winslet. I just want you to draw me to, Leonardo DiCaprio did it.
That is a far out there question. That is very hypothetical. But why would I turn that down? It's just, fine art. There's nude portraits all over public art museums all over the U.S., so there's nothing wrong with that. There's a place for that.
No, exactly. You don't do that, do you? Like a private... Do you do private stuff like that?
I haven't done stuff like that, but I have taken figure drawing classes before, and that's just something common for all artists to do to broaden their observational skills, because drawing the human form is the most complicated thing, especially hands and just proportions. Right. A lot of people look down on that. Like, my parents kind of laughed at that when I went to new drawing classes, if you want to call it that. It's literally just a naked person. There's a bunch of artists all around the room, and it was a little awkward for me, but...
Right, especially if you're not, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked when I did it, but if I didn't, it's good practice, so...
Okay, so besides drawing and painting and you know, do you do anything besides that, like sculptures, you know? Do you do a little acting or dancing, writing?
Acting and dancing, that's something I would like to get into that, but that's another show. Sculpture, I did a little bit in school. I took ceramic.
Clay, okay.
Yeah, I wasn't too good on the wheel, but I really liked sculpting instead. I didn't like just throwing a pot and having to make it symmetrical. But I really liked making little figurines and little diorama type stuff, little 3D sculptures.
Huh.
So... And other than that, I do photography. That's kind of more of a hobby. I'm not yet a professional. I wouldn't say I have done a few weddings, but people do come to me if they want to get a deal on a photographer for their wedding. So.
Oh, I see. That's cool. You're throwing a little stuff in there then.
Yeah.
I mean, so you pretty much went to school for the, to be, you know, for that you're doing right now?
I actually didn't go to college.
You didn't go to college? Okay.
No. So, and I only took art classes in high school, nothing outside of high school besides the figure drawing, so.
Huh.
Yeah, okay. I guess it's just a gift and lots of practice and.
Right. Right. And then, I mean, do you have anything to say to, like, people out there, you know, like, just starting out? Like,
young,
like,
aspiring artists?
Young aspiring artists out there?
Don't watch a lot of TV.
Okay.
Do a lot of art and draw every day. If you're into drawing, I mean, that's what I am, so that's the advice I'll give. Just draw every day. Like, bring a sketchbook wherever you go. I mean, you learn by doing. Yes, going to school and going to college is great, but you learn by doing and treat artwork as work. Treat drawing as work and actually do it every day.
Right.
Just
drawing
from life is very important.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I know that, what you say you do, you want to broaden, pursue bigger things out there, like as far as when it comes to drawing and stuff. About your dream. Let's talk about your dream that you're going to want to.
My dream. All right, here it is. Here's my dream. Help me make it true. I want to just do art that I want to do, like be a true artist, you know, like Picasso. Just do paintings that I want to do and not be hired or commissioned. Don't get me wrong, I like that, and I need the work right now, but my dream is one day just to do paintings and more traditional art. I mean, I love doing the caricatures, but just do art that sells in galleries and shows, and I've yet to do that. I've just gotten real busy with the caricatures because that's what has made the money, so... Once I get more of a portfolio built up, I like to just sell stuff in galleries.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, do you have any? What steps are you taking to get to that point?
Honestly, it's been a while since I've done art in my studio just on my own that I wanted to do because I've gotten so busy, you know, with commissioned work and caricatures for photos and stuff like that. So, I guess it's up to me to just. Get in the studio and just do some paintings. I mean, I have taken some steps, I suppose. I've taken a lot of photographs, and I can do artwork from them, use them as reference. And just going into galleries, it's very good to, like, surround yourself with people that are good at art and just add good art and having that inspire you to create good art as well. So visiting art galleries, looking at art online, and just drawing and doing art, so. Are you there? I think I lost you. I'm hearing static. Am I still alive?